The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Chairman Mike Gallagher is the chair of the China Select Committee, the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. He is from Wisconsin. Good morning, Chairman Gallagher. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Hugh. Great to be with you.
I learned this week that Dusty Johnson is on the Select Committee, and this gives me great comfort. He's from South Dakota, so he has got some common sense opposed to the people from Wisconsin. But maybe you will put him in charge of finding about the farmland issue, because this has come to my attention and it greatly disturbs me that Chinese companies are buying up American farmland. Is that correct?
That is correct. And both him and Representative Newhouse have a keen interest in this issue, so I intend to let them take the lead. What's interesting about this is, theoretically, when we reformed the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States approximately 4 years ago through a piece of legislation called FIRMA, I know I'm using an acronym and violating our rule here, Hugh, but
you've thrown the flag on yourself, so that's okay.
Foreign Investment Risk Review Modernization Act. Sorry, it's a bit of a mouthful. Theoretically, we gave CFIUS the ability to review land purchases like this. Now, right now, it seems the regulations, the implementing regulations written by the executive branch, were written in such a way where the view of Treasury, at least, is that they don't have the authority to do that. But that was congressional intent. So one thing we may do is either try and prohibit the purchase of land by an entity that is linked to the Chinese Communist Party or a hostile foreign power, or simply clarify the implementing regulations to give CFIUS the ability to block such transactions. The other thing we're seeing, Hugh, is some action at the state level. Governor DeSantis, I believe, has launched a review of this issue, but it's generated a lot of concern, and it's not just in the Dakotas. It's in Florida. It's a small percentage of the overall land in the United States, something like 1%. But if that 1% is located next to a sensitive nuclear facility or a military base, I think it should concern all of us.
Well, I don't want the CCP owning any land in the United States. I'm kind of this is not a difficult issue for me. Why would we let the Chinese Communist Party own land in the United States? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Let me move to the second question about the Select Committee, the Gallagher Committee. Have the Democrats named their ranking member and their members yet?
No, Hugh, they have not. And I don't know how many Democrat listeners you have, but if there's any way you could galvanize the hordes of Hewitt enthusiasts to tell Leader Jeffries to appoint a ranking member in Democrats, I would greatly appreciate it, because we can't do anything until we have a committee. We need to pass, for example, if we want to do a hearing, let's say we wanted to do our first hearing at the beginning of March. That seems like a long way away. We're out of session for half of February. I need to agree with get an agreement with the Democrats on rules instantiating the committee prior to us being able to have a hearing. I have a series of things I want to do in a bipartisan fashion with the ranking member prior to that. But until they appoint members of the committee, we can't do anything. And I just, again, for any of my Democratic colleagues who maybe voted against the committee's creation or are concerned that this is going to be a Republican-only effort, the Speaker has made it clear, Speaker McCarthy has made it clear that he wants this to be a bipartisan effort. And I intend to carry out his intention in terms of how I conduct myself and how I conduct the committee. So I think this is actually going to be a very productive place to work over the next 2 years. So I am hoping that today we get some Democrats appointed.
Have you talked to Hakeem Jeffries, the leader of the minority party in the House, about why he is? It may be that everybody wants on. It may be that he is balancing appointments on the Jordan subcommittee as well. There might be a lot of reasons, but has he talked to you about it?
I actually talked to him in passing on the House floor, and I know that he and the Speaker have talked about making sure this is a serious effort. I think he's going to appoint, serious people, by at least from what I've heard about that conversation. And he told me yesterday that he thinks this will all be resolved soon. But the select committees are getting populated last. I think that's driving a lot of this. And he's probably trying to balance Who do I put on the weaponization of government committee? Who do I put on the intelligence committee? Who do I put on the China committee? And how do I kind of balance all these things and the competing demands of various members? So I'm hoping that we get members appointed today so we can get down to business because we're already kind of getting pushed a little bit to the right here.
Now, Congressman, I want this portion to be very, very serious, very straightforward. I had dinner on Saturday night with an old and dear friend, one of the most talented teachers in California's public schools that I have ever known. And I've been out here most of the last 40 years, a genuine professional, loves his kids. He has TikTok on his phone. And I looked at him like, are you nuts? He said, well, everybody has TikTok. What's the problem? I tried to explain to him, would you, Chairman Mike Gallagher, explain why people need to get TikTok off their phone?
The issue, in my mind, is simple. TikTok is owned by a Chinese company, ByteDance. ByteDance is beholden to the Chinese Communist Party. They have basically a controlling interest on ByteDance's board. The head of ByteDance has vowed to make sure that all product lines follow appropriate political control. So you have to ask yourself, do you want an app that is effectively controlled by the Chinese Communist Party to be in your phone, not only tracking your browsing history, but tracking your location, which gets to the second issue. When asked basic questions about whether and how they were using certain features of the app, such as the ability to track the location of the users, TikTok executives denied that they had, while subsequent reporting revealed that they were lying, which leads to the third issue. When asked simple questions on TV by Jake Tapper, high-level TikTok policy officials, Tapper asked them, is there a genocide in China right now? And they hemmed and they hawed and they would not answer the question, which I think proves point one, which is that because they're effectively controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, they're afraid of angering the Chinese Communist Party. We cannot let the CCP control the most powerful media company in America. As I believe I've said on your show before, it would be as if to evince a period in which you were alive, but I was not, Hugh. In 1958, we would have allowed the KGB and Pravda to buy the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Chicago Tribune, and that probably understates the scope of the threat that we're facing here. So, and to say nothing of all the issues of how it's highly addictive, how it's intensifying anxiety, depression, and suicidal ideation among young women in particular. I think FCC Commissioner Brennan Carr hit the mark when he called it digital fentanyl because it's both dangerous and addictive, and it ultimately can be traced back to China.
So, Chairman Gallagher, I said to him in response, what harm could it do is the question that you get. What harm could it do? It's an app. I said, it's an artificial intelligence exploitable database that may never be used, but it's also never going to be erased. So they know everywhere that you've been, every image over which you've lingered, everything you found amusing. Moreover, your children will be building a digital database on themselves that they're going to handle to the Chinese Communist Party, and it will be accessible forever. And it's not that they're being surveilled, though they are. It's that they are being predicted. Their behavior will be predictable, and the algorithm in the sky combined with artificial intelligence and supercomputing will feed to them exactly the trigger points that will push their behavior or in some other way influence their choices. Is that overstatement or understatement?
No, I think that hits the mark. I mean, they're being propagandized, right? For young Americans, TikTok is not just a forum for dumb dance videos. It's a way in which young Americans get their news. So if you have an opaque algorithm that feeds you news based on what is convenient for the Chinese Communist Party, that's just a recipe for propagandizing America's youth. So that's another concern. I think it's bound up what you sort of lay out there with surveillance and the ability to sort of create dossiers effectively on every American. It's bound up in this bigger issue, which is what type of model for governance is the Chinese Communist Party trying to perfect and potentially export? And it is one of total control leveraging technology. It's Orwell on steroids. It probably would make, you know, Orwell's 1984 blush by comparison. And increasingly, they believe because of that and because of the ability to leverage technology, they can succeed where the Soviet Union failed in engineering souls, as they call the effort. And so it's bound up in that broader project, which I believe presents an existential threat to the American Project, which is one of self-government founded on liberty and freedom. So it's not just about an app in your phone.
If it was possible to hold a hearing with your Democratic colleagues, will you devote a hearing just to TikTok? Because it seems to me that when very responsible teachers are not aware of the threat posed by TikTok, then lots of Americans aren't, or they're churning it out, or they're saying, what's the big deal? I'm on Twitter a lot. And it's just so completely different. Will you be devoting a hearing to TikTok?
I think we will. One thing to flag, Kathy McMorris Rogers on the Energy and Commerce Committee is actually going to have TikTok CEO before her committee. Basically, any legislation on TikTok. So I have the bipartisan bill to ban TikTok. It's referred to the House Foreign Affairs Committee, but Energy and Commerce also has a piece of this jurisdiction. So we just need to make sure that ENC and Foreign Affairs and the Select Committee on China are all on the same page in terms of both hearing oversight as well as moving forward on legislation. And so one option would be for us to partner with ENC and with Foreign Affairs on a joint hearing, or after they do their hearing or around the same time. One thing I've been thinking through is we can have a hearing devoted to TikTok, but tease out some of these bigger issues at play, right? So for example, in my opinion, it's not just enough to ban TikTok or force a sale. You also need to have a bigger proactive strategy for how we share data across borders with free world countries that we actually trust. Shinzo Abe gave a great speech before he was killed where he laid out this model of data free flow with trust. So I think we can do two things. Identify and expose the threat posed by TikTok or really any app controlled by a hostile foreign power, while at the same time laying out a strategy for cross-border data flows throughout the free world that actually makes sense.
Well, and what I really want is mom and dad and teacher to understand that the CCP is ubiquitous and they are evil. And that requires the Democrats name their committee. So when you come back next week, you think you'll have a committee named?
Hope springs eternal in the human breast.
When you come back next week, will Aaron Rodgers be a Jet?
Great changes are afoot, both in Congress and at Lambeau Field. So we could have a lot of news to make next week.
I'm just wondering, are you one of the get rid of Aaron people?
Aaron's a legend. If he wants to play for the Packers next year, he will play for the Packers next year.
Why do all the Packers quarterbacks leave at the end? That never happens. I mean, they get hurt in the Browns land, but they don't want to leave their team. Bernie Kosar is still with the Browns. Why do your Packers people want to get out of town?
It's just part of the hero's journey. And then they come back and, you know, we retire their numbers and we all hug and sing Kumbaya. It happened with Brett Favre. It'll happen with Rodgers.
Oh, Mike Gallagher, Chairman Gallagher. That's what I have to call you now. He sent me a memo last week, America. He said, please refer to me as Chairman Gallagher. Good to see you. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned.
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 elections storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply. This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 elections storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from Freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
Welcome back, America. From Chairman Gallagher, I go to Olivia Beavers of Politico.com, one of their senior congressional correspondents. Good morning, Olivia. Always good to see you. You're always so bright and cheery early in the morning. I'm glad about that.
Thanks, Hugh. It's good to see you. I'm always happy to join your show.
So. The big news of the week is that Democrats named their members to the Jordan Committee, the subcommittee of the Judiciary into the weaponization. They have not named their members on the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. Chairman Gallagher just confirmed that to me. Do you have any reporting on the latter? Do you know when Hakeem Jeffries is going to name the Select Committee on Chinese Communist Party members?
We don't. And I think, as Chairman Gallagher said, they're waiting to fill up more of the, you know, regular order committees that Jeffries and all of them would before it's McCarthy who decides who gets to sit on those committees. So they're filling in, populating those, and then they'll do House Intel, and then they'll do the Select Committee on China, then they'll do these others. But I also think that this gives Democrats the opportunity to wait to see how some of the battles with, as we said before, with Schiff, Swalwell, and Congressman Omar play out before that they make some of their final decisions. And maybe then Hakeem Jeffries can make some calculated decisions of who sits where.
Now, your colleague, Jordan Carney, reported on Adam Schiff going on to the House Judiciary Committee's Jordan subcommittee. And I love that Adam Schiff's going on there because he's always entertaining. But their vice ranker, which is a new term of art for me, meaning the number two Democrat, is AOC. Yes. Am I reading that correctly?
You are reading that correctly. And I think you're starting to see some of the names populate. So you have Jerry Nadler, you have Adam Schiff. They're both former impeachment managers. So I think you're going to see some fireworks. I think they're preparing for that on that committee. But I was doing some poking around, and some of my sources weren't giving me as much as I was hoping, but they said prepare to see in the next either a couple of days or weeks for subpoenas coming out of the Judiciary Committee. They wouldn't really tell me who. I was poking around. Maybe you have a good idea. They've hinted at different things. But I was also trying to see where the Select Committee might go first, and it ultimately comes down to Jim Jordan. But I've had some sources say they think that the first hearing that they might want to do goes into, you know, some of the broader things that the Republicans and have discovered about intelligence that has raised concerns for them, like FISA abuse. I once said CIA corruption.
What I have heard, Olivia, is that the Mueller special counsel is going to be on the hot topic. And especially if you read the Columbia Journalism Review story on Russia, 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 and how it has embarrassed the New York Times and much of mainstream media, I would not be surprised. And given that one of the members of the new subcommittee was one of the Mueller prosecutors, I would not be surprised to see that as focus number one. Have you heard that?
I've heard that floating around. I didn't know that that would be first, but that would be a really interesting sort of approach for them to take, because that has been a powerful talking point. I was actually one of those reporters who my first beat was covering the Russia investigation. your face.
Well, did you read the Columbia Journalism Review thing?
I have not. But
oh, my God.
I've learned so many lessons from that being the first thing I cover as a young green reporter. One of them is that you have to be very careful about leaks coming from closed door hearings, because people spin things in such an incredible way. And so I've now sort of taken much more of a critical look when things are very closed door.
Olivia, write this down. You can do the screenplay for an HBO series on Russia, Russia, Russia. I really do. I think it's the Chernobyl of modern journalism. And when the Columbia Journalism Review, you're not a Columbia Journalism graduate, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so neither of us have a vested interest. It is a legitimately esteemed organization. And it is just torn the Russia reporting to pieces in a five-part series that I stayed up late last night reading. And I thought to myself, no one would believe this. Media failed comprehensively. So what do you take away from that blast crater that is Russia, Russia, Russia?
No, I think that it's maybe some of the product is that the press moves really quickly these days. And when you're hearing from someone on the record, you start running it and taking too much, putting too much clout in it. We were pushed with the narrative that there was evidence of collusion between Russia and Trump campaign. And then Mueller didn't find any evidence of that. But I think that there was so much press coverage of it that that really built the narrative that there was. And so it's, you know, I always say it's fair to criticize the press. There's some times where I think the press is really unfairly blamed, but in different cases, you know, we deserve.
Well, I've said forever, the press is not the enemy of the people. And I've challenged former President Trump on that, but they can be very wrong. They can go in exactly the wrong direction in Russia, 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 CRT. Not Olivia Beavers, though. I read everything Olivia does at Politico. Olivia, are you covering the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party specifically, or is that just part of your general brief?
It's part of my general, so I'll be, well, one, I know that you like it, so I will definitely be tracking that for you, but I will also be participating in sort of the broader themes with my colleague, Jordan, who you mentioned earlier. So she's our investigations reporter. I know we're also going to be sharing it with our national security reporter, but I will be
The most important one, in my humble opinion. Olivia Beavers on Twitter. Thank you so much for joining me, Olivia. Come back for hour number three. Senator Cotton is next hour, as is a special guest. Virginia Attorney General Jason Meares is joining me. So do not miss hour three of today's Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. You get your gold at HughGold.com or by texting my name, Hugh, to 989898. You know why we're going to have a debt limit crisis? Because the U.S. has blown through $31.4 trillion. The national debt was under $6 trillion before 9/11. And in the 20 years since, we have added $25 trillion to it. That's not sustainable. And that means the money, the value of the money is going down. But you know what has kept pace with inflation since the early part of the last century? Gold. Gold holds its value. There's no better way to make sure you're safe against hyperinflation, safe against all the upset that comes with a debt limit crisis. All you need to do is get some gold. Start an IRA, a 401k today. They physically store your physical precious metals. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Thousands of happy customers. Birch Gold is who I trust. Text Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 989898 today. Birch Gold at HughGold.com. Let me ask you a couple of football questions first. Mike Gallagher did not deny that Aaron Rodgers is headed to the Jets.
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply. This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from Freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
What do you think?
It certainly sounds like a lot of stars are aligning. A lot of people have said that one of the reasons you hire Nate Hackett as an offensive coordinator is because of his good relationship with Aaron Rodgers, and the Jets hired him. A lot of moving parts and variables here. You know, what do the Packers want as compensation? What does Rodgers want as a salary? How much salary cap room do the Jets have? As last time I checked, it was not really that high. Are the Jets going to have an offensive line that would, you know, prevent Rodgers from getting hammered every game? You know, would I like to see Rodgers under center? Sure, but there's so many other, you know, variables, and, you know, how many more years does Rodgers want to play? You know, I'm a Jets fan, Hugh. I never get my hopes up.
Yeah, the peyote side too. That will work well in New York City. Jim, have you read the Columbia Journalism Review takedown of the Russia reporting?
I have not, but I'm glad that they're taking a, you know, longer, harder look at all of that.
It came out on the 30th. I read it last night, way too late. I am astonished that this came out of the Columbia Journalism Review. It is devastating. Did you see the HBO series on Chernobyl?
Yes.
This is the Chernobyl of American journalism. It was so bad, such a setup job, that even the Columbia Journalism Review is slamming it. What's that tell you about how bad is?
I'm glad to see. You hear folks on the right complaining about the Columbia Journalism Review, that the folks who are in the business of evaluating how journalism is performing and who's doing a good job and who's doing a bad job and what the trends are, that they're too far to the left and that they support activism in the form of journalism and things like that. This would be a giant counterpoint to that. This would be an argument of like, no, actually, that for several years, the coverage was not just I believe the New York Times won a Pulitzer for all this, right, Hugh?
Yes, I think more than one, actually.
Celebrated, right? That this was, you know, they were getting to the bottom of this. And, you know, there was this enormous expectation. The flames were fanned by paranoid conspiracy theorists on Twitter who kept saying the marshal of the Supreme Court was preparing to arrest Trump and he was going to be executed for treason and all kinds of, you know, nutty, crazy stuff like that. That wasn't necessarily in the mainstream coverage. But on the other hand, you could see that animating spirit.
Yeah, Jim, if a publicly traded corporation conducted its business with this degree of malfeasance, every member of the board would be removed and the company would be transferred to a new C-suite set of executives. Nothing has happened. There's no accountability in American media. And the Columbia Journalism Review takeaway is that media has never been less trusted in America. They connect that with Russia. Do you agree with that assessment?
I think it's one of many pieces, but yeah, you definitely can't say. I would just point out, Hugh, the fact that you're making this argument in some people's minds just proves that you're in on the conspiracy. The Russians got to you, and that, you know, clearly Putin is pulling the strings of the Hugh Hewitt Show, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, now the second story I want to cover with you is the genius of Ron DeSantis. Now, I'm in Switzerland. Let them all do well. Let 1,000 flowers bloom. They'll have a complete Blade Runner meltdown in the summer. But in the meantime, Ron DeSantis has an absolute line on what gets Americans going. And he's attacking teacher tenure and diversity, equity, and inclusion departments across Florida universities. And he's taken over their worst college. How smart is DeSantis on the education issue?
So far, very smart. It's very interesting how this kind of like seemed to creep up out of nowhere, almost like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something, right? You know, maybe conservatives had always had their gripes with both public schools at the, you know, at the K-12 level and in higher education. But they knew there was political correctness. Oh, those crazy college students and those crazy college professors, what are they going to think of next? Kat Timpf wrote for National Review for years about, you know, one crazy professor after another. But suddenly kind of turned into this whole institutionalized system designed to teach kids, well, actually, your country stinks. You should not feel proud of it. You should feel guilt. You should see yourself as part of a group, and those groups are either oppressors or oppressed, and you should see the world through this lens. And lots of parents, both, you know, the K-12 variety and you know, tuition-paying variety, were like, well, we didn't sign on for this. Wait a second. No one consulted us. No one mentioned us. And one of the most egregious and, you know, bizarre aspects of this is when a school district says, well, look, you're mischaracterizing our curriculum. That's not true. We're not really teaching this stuff. But, oh, by the way, you can't see it. This is secret. We're going to teach your kids this, but you, the parents, are not allowed to see this sort of thing. So this issue is always ripe for it, and I think this is one of those moments where it is helpful to be a governor and be able to actually enact changes statewide in an effort to do this, as opposed to being a former president or somebody who's not in office. You know, DeSantis can do things on this that people like Trump or Pompeo or Nikki Haley can't because they're not in office right now.
And so can Greg Abbott. It is not coincidental that Governor Abbott announced yesterday that he is pushing for universal school choice on the Arizona model pioneered by Doug Ducey, which will give every parent the state funding equivalent for their child to go to any school they want. It's radical and it's overdue and it's working in Arizona. And Greg Abbott's going to do it. He's going to be ahead of Florida. In fact, there's going to be a race, Jim, to get as many students free of the public school bureaucracy as possible. And I think that's all to the good for the Republicans. At the Republican National Committee winter meeting, that was the only thing that brought everyone together, is the need to break the public school bureaucracy.
Yeah. One of the things that's kind of almost bizarre about this is that, you know, we've all heard the Churchill statement of, if you're not a liberal when you're, you know, 20, you're you have no heart, and if you're not conservative when you're 40, you have no head or no brain or something like that. You know, there always was this, you grow up in some place, maybe you have you know, traditional values, maybe you're not all that political at all, but, you know, whatever, maybe you're relatively apolitical. But you go to college, you interact with other students, you see all the lefty campus activists. Maybe you meet some cute lefty girl. Whatever happened, you know, you do it and you kind of drift to the left in college years, right? That's kind of this perception of, you know, campuses being these hotbeds of, you know, not just liberalism, but maybe like hard progressivism. And then you get into the real world and you try to get your first job and life kicks you in the face. And, you know, all of a sudden you learn these hard lessons. Who's this FICA guy and why is he taking all of my money? All of that. And people had this natural transition back towards either the center or into outright conservatism. Those campuses were already incubators of, you know, getting people ideologically to move to the left. And yet somehow liberals and progressives and the hard left looked at us and said, we're not doing it enough. we need to do it more. We need a more organized, structured, and institutional effort to bring young people to the left, even though most young people were already on the left.
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply. This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from Freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
Yeah, and we need a diversity, equity, and inclusion office, which Ron DeSantis is going to shutter at every university in Florida, much to the applause of taxpayers in Florida. Jim Garrity can be followed at Jim Garrity on Twitter, read every morning in the Morning Jolt from National Review, and now a columnist at the Washington Post. My colleague in all except professional football, may Aaron Rodgers go to the Jetland, and may he once again bring hope that is unfounded to Jets fans everywhere. Stay tuned, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
Look, you did the tough thing during COVID. You paid your people and pulled your business through the pandemic, or really the lockdown. And now, doing the tough thing could qualify you for up to $26,000 per employee at COVIDtaxrelief.org. Government funds are available to reward companies with two or more employees who stayed open during COVID. This is not a loan, and you don't have to pay it back. The program is complicated, but nobody knows more about it than the CPAs and tax experts at COVIDtaxrelief.org. You pay nothing up front. They do all the work and share a percentage of the cash they get you. Businesses of all types, including nonprofits and churches, can qualify, including those who took PPP loans, even if you had increases in sales. You did the tough thing for your employees during COVID. Let COVIDtaxrelief.org help you get up to $26,000 per employee. Visit COVIDtaxrelief.org. That's COVIDtaxrelief.org.
Come back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I want you to know it's St. Bridget Day. I did not know until this morning that Ireland had three patron saints. Yes, St. Patrick. Everybody knows that. March 17th, right? But St. Columbkill and St. Brigid. And I didn't know that. And Aaron, the wonderful Aaron. Aaron is the bright, shining star of Ireland that's come into our life because she is my son's mother-in-law. And she brings joy and Irish enthusiasm to everything. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday. And she corrected me on the pronunciation. Actually, Russ did. Russ is my son's father-in-law, and he's Canadian. Well, they're both Americans now, but the one is born in Ireland, one's born in Canadian, so they got, like, the perfect in-laws. I tell my son, he doesn't know how good it is to have enthusiasm and calm combined in in-laws, because in-laws are always iffy, right? My daughter-in-law and son-in-law must look at me and say, what did we sign up for? But now let's talk serious stuff. Jason Mayares is the Attorney General of Virginia. And I've been looking forward to this conversation for a long time. Good morning, gentlemen. All right. Welcome back to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
It's great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me again.
Now, I live in Northern Virginia. I am a Virginian, and I have followed the Fairfax County meltdown on the PSAT scores and now the AP scores. You launched an investigation. What have you discovered thus far?
Well, this is what we know. We know that the Michelle Reed, the superintendent of Fairfax Schools, hired an equity consultant, paid this individual $455,000 for about 9 months worth of work. We know one of the directives from this equity consultant was for to achieve equal outcomes for every student without exception. Those were his words, not mine. This equity consultant also said that to achieve these equal outcomes without exceptions, you had to be willing to treat some students unequally. And what we actually, our investigation actually started into Thomas Jefferson High School. As you know, it's a well-known magnet school. It's a public school in Virginia, but you have to apply to attend. It's the Thomas Jefferson School for Science and Technology. We saw that they went to a, quote, equity-based admissions policy instead of a merit-based admissions policy that led to a 20-point decrease of Asian American enrollment in just 1 year. And so I started hearing to you from parents, from moms and dads saying, my child's being discriminated against. My child has worked so hard, got straight A's since the first grade, and we're realizing they may not be able to achieve their dream to go to TJ High School simply because of who they are, because they're Korean American or they're Indian American. And that's wrong. That goes against everything we should believe as Americans. And so on top of that investigation that we started, then the explosion of the national merit scandal, in which we know that over 70% of the recipients of this commendation are Asian American. And so we have a state statute in Virginia, the Virginia Human Rights Act. We have an Office of Civil Rights here, and our state law says you cannot discriminate, you cannot deny somebody a benefit simply because of their racial or ethnic background, or if they're in any of the other protected classes listed in the Virginia Human Rights Act. So that's what we're investigating it. I'm a big believer in you measure twice, you count once, as we did in our Loudoun County investigation and our parole board investigation. And so our goal right now is to get to the answer on that. We have a lot of documents to review and a lot of witnesses to interview. But listen, at the end of the day, our dream, our aspiration as society is we want to judge people by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. That's what we want in a pluralistic, multiracial society. And nobody should be denied their dream. I'm a child of an immigrant. The idea that somebody could be denied their dream just because of their background, when you know that education is a doorway to the American dream, that goes against everything we believe. And that's
General, I had a parent call the show after the initial story broke, when it went from 1 to 3 to 7 to 17 schools, and I don't know how many schools are now involved in the PSAT, who said that the PSAT National Merit had changed her son's life because he got a full ride to the University of Florida based on semifinalist stats. So there's real money involved, real benefits, real costs. Tell me about the nitty gritty of the investigation. Is there a lead attorney? Have they sat down with the county superintendent yet? Has anyone been deposed, and will it all be done under oath?
Well, the first part, you're exactly right. I've seen some left-wing commentators say this isn't that big of a deal. I worked all 4 years of college. I could tell you how you're going to pay for college can matter as much as which college you can get into. And I know of at least one Virginia school that will give you a full free tuition if you're one of these national merit recipients getting one of these commendations. By our calculation, it was worth over $90,000 by not notifying these students. So you're absolutely right. As far as the nitty gritty, I'm not going to unveil too much because of the role I'm in. I would say that we have a right to receive documents. We've already made that request. So far, Fairfax is being cooperative. We will continue to interview witnesses. If we make the determination due to they are in violation of the Virginia Human Rights Act, then the first thing is we send them a notice of the violation. They need to be in compliant, and they need to take the following steps to be in compliant. If the Fairfax Public School System then decides to ignore our demand, then the next step is we take them to court and we actually sue the system. So my hope
General,
is,
have you made a referral over to the Office of Civil Rights at Maine Justice in Washington, D.C.? Because it seems to me they ought to be equally interested with your Division of Civil Rights as to whether or not race is being used in an impermissible fashion in Northern Virginia. Have they evidenced any interest in this?
Well, listen, I don't rely on Merrick Garland for much. So my goal is we have a state statute in Virginia, and we have our own internal Office of Civil Rights in Virginia that conduct these investigations. So we're right now investigating this specifically under Virginia law. Listen, Merrick Garland is in the D.C. metro area. I know he's aware of it. I know they are aware of this, but they have a right to conduct an investigation under the 14th Amendment. But they probably have a very different interpretation of it than probably what I do, which I believe in a colorblind society and equal protection of the law means exactly that. Everybody should be treated equally under the law.
A couple of quick questions. Has anyone stepped forward as a whistleblower yet to give you any inside information on how the school districts arrived at these practices?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Okay. Has any other school district in the state not named Fairfax County disclosed to you voluntarily that they engaged in similar practices?
Well, it seems like Loudoun and Prince William have come forward publicly, and we're taking a look at it. Right now, our first focus is Fairfax, but we know both Loudoun and Prince William have had specific schools that have had issues as well.
Now, I am curious about the third part of this scandal is not listing the titles of courses on transcripts, AP courses, as another means of driving the performance at the top down so that the performance at the bottom looks better. Is that of concern to your office, General Meares?
I mean, listen, I think equity without excellence is emptiness. And, we would have to see whether they specifically denied that on some students' transcript because of their racial or ethnic background, only in that sense. But I do think it goes to a larger question, which is we've seen this almost a war on merit the last couple of years in this country, where we seem to downplay excellence. And, we're living in a time where the People's Republic of China graduated close to 4 million STEM graduates last year, science, technology, engineering, and math, and we graduated about 400,000. We should be encouraging excellence. We should be encouraging those going into science, technology, engineering, math. We should be encouraging that, not downplaying it. And so that is a very troubling trend that I've seen nationally in education. We should be downplaying the worth of merit and excellence. And we can't have forced equal outcomes. What we can't have is equal opportunities. And what's so tragic, Hugh, is so many of these families I've talked to, English is not even the primary language spoken at home. They've come here literally pursuing the dream, that last best hope on earth Abraham Lincoln described, and they know how important education is. And that's just agony for a child, for a parent to see.
Oh, and you can't get it back. This gets me so crazy, generally. You don't get it back. Early admissions close. You can't make good. Have any private lawsuits been brought yet against Fairfax County or any other school district for damages done to the students by their malfeasance, either intentional or negligent?
Yeah, there are a group of parents in Fairfax, a coalition for TJ. They're overwhelmingly Asian American parents that have actually brought a suit in federal court that's still ongoing right now. And they have received such incredible verbal and online abuse from some of those in the lab by just saying, listen, we just want to go back to a merit-based system. We want to go back to a system that if you have the grades and you have the test scores, you can go to the school of your dream, TJ High School, and which was rated by U.S. News and World Report as the best high school in the country. We should be promoting excellence, not downplaying it.
Do you believe that the problem that has manifested itself in Fairfax County and other high schools may also have manifested itself in the admissions policies of state-run universities in the Commonwealth? In other words, have they gone beyond Bakke? Have they gone beyond Grutter and Gratz? Have they gone beyond San Antonio and are using race to actively manage the life of the students on the campus?
Well, we're going to take a look at what's happening with Virginia schools. That's where I have the authority. I would point out nationally, you have seen a lot of discussion. You have ongoing cases of admissions policy, where I've said before, Hugh, it seems like the only state-sanctioned form of bigotry in America today is anti-Asian bigotry. That yes. seems to be the only thing that it's okay to limit, cap, decrease the number of enrollment. And I think that's just wrong. And that's why we are investigating what's happening in Virginia specifically with our high schools. We're not going to be afraid to look at if there's a Virginia public university that's discriminating against our Asian students as well.
Can we go back and close on that original study from the Oakland consultant? It seemed to me to be on its face, a violation of the 14th Amendment, because they were brought in to use race in the administration of a public high school district. That is verboten. It is just like the cardinal sin of American history. Did that consultant get hired anywhere else in Virginia?
We're trying to make that determination, but you're exactly right. I don't see how on its face, when it says equal outcomes for every student without exceptions, even if it means you have to treat some students purposefully unequally, which was his exact words, to be very purposefully treating students unequally. I do not know how that does not violate the 14th Amendment of equal protection under the law, where everyone's supposed to be treated equally. And it's almost like something out of Animal Farm, where they're using words to twist that actually do reverse discrimination to try to force equal outcomes. That is in everything we believe as Americans. We should be celebrating excellence. We should be celebrating merit and hard work.
Last question, Attorney General Myers. If a whistleblower comes forward, who do they contact at your office? Because I do believe they'll be in much better position if they reach out to you and say, I know what's going on here, than if they are discovered in the course of the investigation.
Probably the easiest is on our Office of Civil Rights, which is connected to my webpage, oag.state.va.us, oag.state.va.us. There's a simple form to file a civil rights complaint. All of that is reviewed by our civil rights attorneys, and they can simply fill out a form and provide their contact information, and we'll keep that.
I hope they step forward in large numbers and get to the bottom. Come back and give us an update, Attorney General. I appreciate it. As a voter in the Commonwealth, I greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Attorney General. I'll be right back with Senator Tom Cotton on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt from Studio West, joined by United States Senator Tom Cotton from the great state of Arkansas. Good morning, Senator. Always good to talk to you.
Good morning, Hugh. Good to be back on with you.
At the Republican National Committee winter meeting, I got to sit with the Arkansas Republican National Committee member. Former U.S. attorney is now the chairman of your party down there. You are in good shape in Arkansas. They're very, very capable people.
We are. We have a new chairman. Governor Sanders asked Cody Hyland, who is the U.S. attorney for President Trump in the Eastern District of Arkansas, to be our chair. He's going to be an outstanding leader for the Republican Party of Arkansas.
Now, Senator, I want to talk to you about President Biden's document problem. In this morning's New York Times, in an article by Glenn Thrush, is this statement, quote, Mr. Biden's voluntary compliance with Justice Department and FBI stands in stark contrast with the behavior of former President Donald J. Trump, close quote. A, I don't believe that's true, but B, I don't know that it's voluntary cooperation. Are you certain that no subpoena has been issued to the president, the first lady, or any entity tied to the Bidens that would have led to the searches at the Penn Biden Center or the Biden homes?
No, Hugh, I'm not certain at all. I think that's a very reasonable question. I know the White House has been refusing to answer any questions, just like they refused to let Congress see these documents so we can make an informed judgment about what, if any, damage to national security might have occurred. It'd be very nice if someone would simply ask the president or ask his mouthpieces, have you received a subpoena for any of these matters? That's a simple yes or no question that would not interfere with any investigation.
So we actually don't know that they're voluntary. We don't know that. They might be, but we don't know that. I point out Glenn is wrong about that, but also the immediate rush to compare and contrast with Donald Trump. After reading the Columbia Journalism Review multi-part series on Russia, 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 I think it's extraordinary for the New York Times to publish that. Have you had a chance yet to read the Columbia Journalism Review on the Russia, Russia, Russia investigation, Senator Cotton?
I have not, but I imagine it's going to be pretty bad because I saw that up close and personal as a senator and also as a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Furthermore, Hugh, I want to point out it's not just a double standard between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, but also Joe Biden and Mike Pence. Mike Pence's lawyers, in an abundance of caution, searched through his home a couple weeks ago for classified documents. They said they found a few. And then what happened? The FBI showed up almost immediately within a matter of hours, unlike the situation that it appears with Joe Biden. Furthermore, we still have not the faintest clue what was in the documents at Joe Biden's house, yet someone in the Department of Justice or the FBI or the National Archives has already leaked to CNN what was in the Mike Pence documents. So, again, it's just a continuing double standard that this administration applies when something happens to Republicans versus when it happens to a Democrat, especially that Democrat is named Joe Biden.
Senator, you have access to the SCIF, the Sensitive Compartment and Information Facility in the Congress. Have you ever taken a document out of the SCIF?
No, Hugh, and in the Congress, it is almost impossible to do so. I mean, you walk in and you turn over your phone and AirPods and Apple Watch, anything else that could transmit a signal or receive a signal. The staff still ask you if you have anything else on you. And then when you walk out, they double check to make sure you don't have classified documents in your hand or, you know, if you're a Democrat like Sandy Berger, stuffed in your socks or your underwear, I guess.
Do you have any idea how Senator Biden got classified documents out of the Congress to his home?
I don't, Hugh. And that is maybe one of the most curious parts of this story. Again, what I just described to you is the way that classified documents are handled. Now, if you're on the Intelligence Committee, it's also appropriate for a staffer who is cleared to transport classified documents to bring them to your office. That's not a SCIF, but that's done in a locked bag, and that aide has to sit with you while you review them. You can't discuss the contents of them, and when you're done, you hand them back to the aide who puts them back in the locked bag and takes them back to the secure facility. I can just imagine, though, Joe Biden, who, let's be honest, is a bit prideful and even a blowhard. Back in his days as chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, he got all chesty about his right to handle classified documents however the hell he wanted to. So I think that's another important question that we need answers to is how did then-Senator Biden apparently have classified documents on him when it's well near impossible for a senator to walk out of a secure facility with classified documents.
Now, I watched an interview between Chairman Warner and Ranking Member Rubio about the Intel Committee. Has the Intel Committee done a hearing yet looking specifically at the Biden documents and whether or not they will be allowed to be seen by the members of the committee and how they might have migrated from Congress to Delaware?
No, Hugh, we haven't. You know, we asked immediately last summer for the documents from Mar-a-Lago and for the intelligence community's damage assessment of it. We've never received that either. And the administration's position is that we will never receive them, at least until the special counsels are done with both investigations, which could take years. That's an untenable position. We have an absolute right to these documents to form our own assessment of what damage, if any, was caused to national security by their mishandling. We're not going to defer to a bunch of lawyer bureaucrats sitting at the Department of Justice or the FBI or the intelligence agencies. I can tell you every Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, even liberal Democrats, feel that way. So we're going to get answers sooner rather than later.
Good, because I do not understand how an Article II agency can tell Article I, which is charged with the oversight of their agency, that they cannot see the documents in question. Senator Tom Cotton, thank you. Follow him on Twitter at @SendTomCotton. Follow me to the Grand Old Pod, only available at the Universe, and to tomorrow on the next Hugh Hewitt Show. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Generalissimo. I'm Hugh Hewitt. See you tomorrow.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.